1-800-449-8686.
And another news, the Mighty Ducks, they're on their way to the Western Conference Final in the National Hockey League here in Los Angeles. Who knows? Who cares? No one. My Canadian producer, Janice, walked in and went, "The Ducks are almost in the Stanley Cup, the Conn Smythe division, and the Prince of Wales." And I'm, what is this? Who? The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. You've heard of them. Everybody talks Laker ball here. Good. Lakers are great. They ain't winning any NBA this year, so forget that. You guys with the Lakers, look, I know when the Lakers are going to win a championship, and I know when they won't. I had my season seats back in the 80s when it mattered. I'm kidding. They got a good team this year. Forget it. They got their three-peat. They ain't going anywhere against the Spurs. They're going to get out in the Spurs in six. Spurs will beat them in six. No, you know what? That's an easy prediction. Spurs will take them in five. That's easy to say a team's going to take another team in six. Any jackass can say that. By the way, Vic the Brick, how you doing? Now, as I was saying, I'm kidding around, Vic. Five games, the Spurs will take the Lakers out, and then they're going to go off to Cancun or whatever it is those guys do in the offseason. You know, they're going to take 86 pounds of jewelry off of their neck. Shoot him. Take 86 pounds of jewelry off their neck. Half the reason why those cats get injured, man, is they can't... How do you walk around with 9 pounds of jewelry around your neck? No wonder they're losing the vertebrae is out, the back is out, the knee injury, the joints. Take the jewelry off, man! So the Lakers, forget that. They did good. Spurs are going to take them out in five. But the Ducks, how about that? Too bad I don't care. See, hockey's a regional game. In the United States. In Canada, it's the national game. But in the United States, it's regional. What does that mean? It means that in Maine, Minnesota, Colorado, and a few other spots around the Northeast and the Midwest, it's very big. And it's big here when they get close to the Stanley Cup. I have news for you. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks getting to the Stanley Cup is not going to set anybody on fire here. The Kings did because they had Gretzky, and it was that whole era, Bruce McNall, and was he going to go to the joint? Wasn't he going to go to the joint? Was he going to be someone's girlfriend? Was he not? You know, I just was going to go on there. And meanwhile, will Gretzky lose McSorley and actually go out on the ice like a man? I'm joking around, Wayne. Barry Melrose with the hairdo. You know, it was a wonderful time. And people sat and fantasized and pretended like they knew about hockey. Nobody knows about hockey. No one will ever know about hockey. It's a game that is of marginal interest to us in the United States because, frankly, it's not that we don't skate. That's got nothing to do with it. The fact that we don't skate. That has nothing. Everybody will tell you, well, no one grew up on skates. Oh, forget that. That has nothing to do with it. The fact is that we've got another perfectly good sport in the wintertime where they lose their teeth and their noses get fractured and their faces get pulverized and so they don't even look like their mothers would recognize them, and it's called football. What do we need the hockey for? When I was in Miami, they have a team down there, the Florida Panthers, and I was surrounded by hockey mania in Miami. For one reason, there's lots of Canadians down there. For another reason, the people, the circle that I traveled in those days, they loved hockey. But I would go to the games, and I would watch them skate around, marvel at their skill, marvel at their ability with the puck. And leave, and never really get excited about anything that I was looking at. So anyway, the Mighty Ducks, and like I said, you run into your Canadian friends around here, hey, the Stanley Cup, huh? The Stanley Cup. Now, what is that?
Well, it was given to the National Hockey League by Lord Stanley.
Oh, really? Okay. Is that like the World Championship?
No, it's the Stanley Cup.
No, but I mean, is that the World Champion? Does it mean World Champion?
No, it's just the Stanley Cup.
Well, so whatever, man. Here, why don't I go to my cupboard? Here's the play for this, the Porcelain Cup.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, why not? Because Lord Stanley didn't get... Oh, who is Lord Stanley? The reason why hockey ain't no big thing in America is because there's no world championship associated with it. And whether you love us or you hate us, Americans, for whatever pathological reason, must know that when they win at something, they are the champions of the entire world at it. That's why we have said the World Series. Well, who else plays baseball? 4 guys in Japan, 6 guys down in the Dominican Republic, 1 guy down in the outback in Australia, and then us. That's it. And, oh, yeah, 4 Canadians, 3 guys, 3 very weird Italians, like a half a dozen Russians, and America. That's who plays baseball. But we're the world champions. And football, that's, oh, it's like I had a landlord, Joe Kiss, great guy. Joe was from Hungary.
You know, Philip, I don't understand.
Yeah, what's that, Joe?
How come they call a Super Bowl World Championship Football? If the world is Atlantic Ocean to Pacific Ocean, okay, world champion.
And he was right. I said, look, Joe, this is America.
I know, so don't start giving me the speech.
No, it's, come on, listen, you immigrant bastard. Now, this is, I never talked to him like that. He said, look, Joe, Americans got to know it's the world. The reason why we don't dig hockey is there ain't no world championship associated with it. It's a freaking Stanley Cup, and that don't mean diddly squat when in a country full of cups. We got athletic, supporters all over the place. Why don't you play for that? The Jock Cup. That's why. And it's kind of silly, but that's why. Even college ball, college football, why don't I like it? I'll tell you why I don't like it. The national championship, why do I care about that? I want the world championship of college football. I want them to play some schools in Denmark, a couple of Indian schools. I want them to play a football team from Bombay State, hammer them 106-0, then they got the world championship. And then the other thing that shot them in the foot, what's up with 6 teams? When they finally came to L.A., they expanded to 12 teams in the NH National Hockey League. The Kings were an expansion team in 1968. I knew that and then, and I know that now because then I was alive and I was a little kid, and the Kings came to town and everybody was all jazzed. And I was actually sad. And the reason why I was sad is my old man would take me out to see the minor league games out here at the sports arena with a team called the L.A. Blades. They were our Western Hockey League team. That's who I liked. I liked the Blades, man. And they had the only black guy in hockey, Willie O'Ree. What are you laughing at, Pelton? Willie O'Ree. He was the Jackie Robinson of hockey, and he used to play for the Blackhawks, and he came down to the minor leagues because it was late in his career, and he played for the L.A. Blades. And they didn't wear helmets, and they would take sticks, and they'd take a guy's nose off with it, and then they'd skate right over a guy's face, and it was good fun for the entire family. And then the Kings came along, and then I go to the sports page every morning. Hey, check out the NHL scores. Yeah, it looks like they still got 6 teams. What is that?
Hey, the Stanley Cup playoffs are coming up. Really, which 5 of the 6 teams do you think will be in the playoffs? Because that's really a nail-biter, huh? Yeah, I think, I don't know, geez.
They got 4 teams made it. Why have, you talk about coasting through the season. They talk about how the sport is watered down and the real talent was back then. Yeah, my Irish ass. Those guys skate, talk about skating through something. Those cats sleptwalked through that season. Why would you have to play hard? 4 of you guys are going to make it anyway. Then you play hard in the playoffs. And then comes the NHL. They come to L.A. and they got the Prince of Wales Conference. So, again, the Canadian friend,
hey, isn't that exciting? The Vancouver Canucks and the Montreal Canadiens won the Prince of Wales Conference.
Really, that's, the Prince of Wales Conference. Well, what does that mean?
Well, they won the,
I don't know what, don't you listen to me, just
stand there for a minute.
What is Prince of Wales Conference?
That's the conference that the Montreal Canadiens and the Jacques Cartier,
whatever the hell, and the Canadian Mounties and the Canadian. There were 2 teams that made the. Hold on for a minute. I'm strangling myself with my headphone cord.
Help! Help! Help!
I'm okay. 2 teams made the Prince of Wales Conference Final: the Canadian Mounties and the Canadian Mounted. And guess who won? Blade? The Blades. All right, now, so what the hell is that? So nobody knows. So finally got a guy named Gary Bettman, who's the commissioner of the NHL, and he's from the NBA, Western and Eastern Conference. Boom, now you can relate. That's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to sell a sport to Americans. It's West-East, 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 West-East. Why? Because the East is where the country started. The West is where the country wound up. Everybody visits their relatives back East, or you're going out West. There's a very specific definition in this country in terms of East and West. The Western sensibility, Eastern sensibility. So you got to have West versus East in the States. That's where it's at. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. You have the West, the East, the Central, the, all of that crap. Not the Conn Smythe division. How the hell's a guy call up a guy, hey, you think we're going to win the Smythe division? What is that? Is that a tectonic plate? What are you talking about? What is that, geology? No, it's like hockey, you idiot. Hockey? So it brings us here to the year 2003, and what have we got? The Mighty Ducks. Owned by Disney. I better start talking nice about ABC, by the way, because they may be looking at my pilot here in a few days. Anyway, one of the great companies, Disney, and they own the Mighty Ducks. Why? Because I guess that was the name of a movie. They named the Ducks after a flick. You know? Like if they could have named them the Anaheim Blob, I guess. They produced that flick. The Anaheim Blob. Why? Well, it's named after one of our films. We're promoting it.
Oh.
And they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals, maybe, if they beat either Vancouver or Minnesota. Now, guess where my very dear friend Janice is from? You got it, Vancouver. What do you think this place is going to be like if the two of those teams? She's going to be running in here every day at about, say, 2:30 because she stayed up for the 15-period overtime. And, oh, boy, what a game last night. Oh, let me guess, the Vancouver Rangers won the game? No, you bastard! Was it the Anaheim Mighty Red Hawks? I mean, either the Blue Wings? I forget. Yeah, we love those Anaheim Mighty Range Rovers. Isn't that? No. And it's been 50 years since the New York Range Rovers won the Boston Bruins, not to be confused with the Boston Bears. What's a Bruin? What's a Bear? Anyway, that's it, and the Lakers are gone, so you better get used to hockey, because there ain't going to be nothing else around here other than hockey for the next foreseeable future. The Lakers will be out, and why not? It's time. Tim Duncan, the Spurs. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's just the way it's going to be. The other thing that I'd like to get off of soon are these sports guys who have got, like, a lingo thing going on now. I don't even know what these cats are saying anymore. I'm listening to Vic the Brick over on the Mighty, whatever the hell it is. And this is the guy. Lakers luck, there's four and a spore. 15 dockies going down the hallway. Slam dunk with a midget. That's right, this is Vic the Brick. And we've got 15 different guys. And look at this bing bing with the bling bling. That's right, I'm a white man, I hope I'm black. What the hell is he talking about? Hey, Vic, what's the score, baby? What's the score? 44. Guys are going in. Women are coming out. Go in. Baby comes out. Yeah, baby. That's like I go to my doctor, go to the gynecologist. You know, we're going to get a little pre-pregnancy counseling with my wife. You go in. Baby goes out. Bing, bing, slam, slam. Yeah. Baby in the crib. Go walk. Hoochie, coochie. Milk coming out of the thing. Ho! No sex for 6 months. Yeah. Just give me the freaking score, you freaking... You're a good man, Vic. You're a good man. But all these cats, right? ESPN Sports Central. Hi, I'm Van Don Ass. Well, the Pirates and the Patriots played today at Ping Ping Field. Let's go to the action, the seventh inning. Look at this. Torrey Davis takes him downtown. Ho, this ballpark cannot hold the immensity of my swing. And how about that guy, Jimmy John Jeffries? He had an ERA of 6.25. No doubt about it. Going downtown, take a look. Everything's beautiful. Moves in, moves out. He's well-oiled here. Look at how he greases in. Now he slips it in. Now he pulls out. It's beautiful. All right, let's go. All right. Mike Fratello. Did you ever hear him on the NBA?
That's right, Marv. Mike Fratello here.
Guy's 5'1". Mike Fratello's a great guy. I met him in Atlanta. He used to coach the Hawks. But the guy's 5'1". How does a guy 5'1"? He probably just loved basketball. His whole life loved it. And he couldn't play it. I'm sorry, Mike.
Why not? Why can't I play, coach?
You're 5'1".
You can coach, maybe, man.
You think so?
Yes, yes, I think you can. Go ahead, sit on the bench, watch. Here's the chart.
Oh, God, I love the game.
Now, later on, he becomes an adult. And then he coached. They had a pretty good career in the NBA. Then he gets on with Marv Albert on NBC. Oh, yes! And the Knicks are up by 3 points.
Right, Marv. You saw him go through the back door there, dished it off for the jam. A little raspberry razzmatazz. Now then, my wife and I... Ooh, what are you saying?
And then, of course, we have our old buddy, Rome here. I'm out. The WNBA, that's not a sport.
Yeah, Romy, what up?
Yeah, talk to me.
Thanks for the vine.
What up, brother?
Well, are you Negro or something, man? Because you talk funny.
All right, anyway.
Hi, Jim. Can I ask you a question?
What up, brother? What do you want to say?
Do you wish you were black? Because it's funny. I know you're from the Valley.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Speaking of sports, Justin Timberlake, actually, they're going to sign him to do, you know who he is? He's the guy that is the lead singer for the Backdoor Boys. Oh, NSYNC. Backdoor Boys. That's great, Phil. So, in other words, what you're saying is, because these are young men making their living as crooners, that they're homosexuals. So would you say that Frank Sinatra was a homosexual? Well, no, I wouldn't. Then why would you say that about NSYNC? You're right, it was unfair. Yeah, yeah, very unfair. What about Bing Crosby? Was he gay? No, sir, he was not. He was a crooner. How about Elvis? How about any of those guys? Justin went out with Britney Spears. You should be so lucky. I'm sorry. Okay, now get on with it. Britney Spears, really? All right. Justin Timberlake has been signed by... I don't even know why I'm reading this. What I really wanted to talk about was Michael Jordan's leaving the Wizards. Hey, look at me. I'm doing a sports talk segment. What do you think of that? I wanted to get into Michael Jordan leaving the Wizards. But anyway, Justin Timberlake is going to take a gig as a sports commentator on TNT. He's going to do some NBA playoff commenting. He is going to, you know, basically take a job away from a man who's been working in AAA baseball and college football broadcasts for, 15 years, and who was hoping for a big break with a major network. Justin Timberlake, that snot-nosed punk, is taking a job away from a man who deserves it. Thank you. Hey, way to go, Justin. Is that great? And Mike Curl is the guy that hired him over at TNT, SBC, ASPCA Sports. Mike Curl. And also, Mike's the guy who's going to get fired if it doesn't work out. All right, Mike, way to go. Way to go, baby. Now, I guess Timberlake is a sports star, and naturally, 35 to 40-year-old to 25-year-old men want to look at him when they're watching basketball. So that's another good decision you made there, Mike. That's great. Of course, I want to see Justin Timberlake. Boy, I'll tell you what, he better get some tats and start smoking cigarettes and get a beer gut for me to relate to him. You better start drinking beer, and you better start drinking beer now.
I don't understand.
You don't understand?
Well, I have a show date after I do...
You're going to drink... You got to relate to the audience. Now, start drinking the beer.
I don't drink.
Drink it! Drink this. Drink this Guinness. Get this hams into you and get it into you fast. And when you're done with that, start smoking these Swisher Sweets. Ew! Smoke them! You want to be in sports, huh? You're going to... I swear to God, you're going to lose hair like Dick Vitale if it's the last thing that... Oh, man. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back in 30 seconds. I'm taking a bathroom break. Stay tuned.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Pick up an item or two in our souvenir shop. We have our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD there.
2002. You can get it. It's called World Famous. It's available there. And all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. Why should you care if you don't live in California? Well, because the kids that are housed. This is not a shelter. This is a resource center. Kids are living on the street out here, and most of them come from somewhere other than California. They're here from the Midwest, the South, the Northeast. And the thing about a lot of these kids is their parents don't want them back. See, this phrase, runaway, has no meaning. Well, there's a lot of, I shouldn't even say runaway kids. I should say thrown away kids. So it's a resource center for homeless and thrown away kids in Hollywood, California, because these kids can't go home. They could pick the phone up right now and call their parents' house, and their parents would hang up on them. Why? They're too hard to handle. Oh, I just can't handle him anymore. He's just, oh. I got no sympathy. I got no sympathy. And you know what? I take that back. I do have sympathy. Because a lot of times it's a mother who's been left with a kid by some bum who's gone. Hey, what do you think about this? What if they put on one of them LoJacks or something on every guy that is the father of a baby so you can track him all over the country? Oh, just had a kid. Congratulations. Slap. You just slap on one of those cuffs. You know, those bracelets that you monitor. Now you got to find a guy where, what the hell is that? Well, what is that? Well, it's what we call dad track. Yeah, that's the way we can find you wherever you are. Well, what makes you think I'm going to run? Oh, I don't know. Just the percentages. I love my kid. Believe me, it's just that if he gets into drugs and, you know, the country club money is too much, I just may pay more attention to my golf game than him. Yeah, sure, I understand. Well, you're going to wear it anyway. I think that's a great idea. I'm patenting that. And the phrase thrown away kid, okay? That's mine. Mine. Anybody uses it, I'll sue. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry, and I raise money for charity. So anyway, go to our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. So they put the Pledge of Allegiance back in the school in Texas, but they still got that under God thing in there, see? So that's what messes that up. You didn't know that, but the states can actually put it back in. They say it's unconstitutional if it has under God in it. But why has it got under God in it in the first place? Well, they plugged it in there in the 50s because we didn't want to be atheists like them commies. Well, it wasn't supposed to be in there. It wasn't in there originally, and that's what caused the problem. So if we can't have under God in it, we ain't going to say it at all. The problem could have been solved simply enough if somebody somewhere would have had the brains to say, well, let's just take under God out and let's just do the Pledge of Allegiance. It doesn't have to be in there. It wasn't in there originally. I would rather my kid says the Pledge of Allegiance without under God in it than not say it at all, personally. I could care less whether the phrase under God is in it. I'll give him God. I'm God. When he comes home and that bedroom isn't made and the homework isn't done, I'm God. And when he says, I pledge allegiance to my God, he's saying Sig Heil to the stepdad. I'm joking, but you know what I'm talking about. But when the kids leave in the morning, I have them, they all go, Heil Phil, Heil Phil, as they go out the door. Each one of them, their little Catholic school uniforms, and they have their little book bag, and...
Yavor, evil stepfather.
All right.
The fatherland.
Goodbye. And, you know, one at a time.
How feel? How feel?
Out there they go, to the school bus. Anyway, you know, get out of here with this stupid pledge crap. But they have something in here called the Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag of Texas. What? I pledge allegiance to the Flag of Texas... And, you know, whatever. Okay, thanks. That's all you need to say. What the hell is that? Anyway, I agree. I think it's really good for kids to know they live in a country. It ain't a bad place. Say the Pledge of Allegiance. And if they think it's unconstitutional or it ain't groovy, wait until you get into college to file a lawsuit, okay? For now, you're going to say it whether you like it or not. And we're going to stick it back into school without under God in it. What is the story? I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I can't believe that this idiotic, moronic debate has gone on as long as it has. I'm going over to the kids' school tomorrow. I'm going to say, I demand you guys stick that pledge back in.
Well, but if it doesn't say under God in it, Mr. Hendry?
Fine with me.
You'll take full responsibility?
Yes, I will.
All right.
What? Well, I don't need that.
Don't you go to church?
Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Well, I don't understand. Why don't you want under God in it?
Because it's not in the school anymore now. Because of that phrase, they threw it out. If you just take the phrase out, we could put it back in.
Well, but under God is on our money. It's the founding principle of our country. Will you stop already with that?
Right now, millions of American kids ain't saying the Pledge of Allegiance, which is a cool thing to say.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because it gives them a consciousness of where they are. It gives them a consciousness of what they are a part of. It gives them an idea that they are part of a rather unique culture. Then, when they turn 18, they can hate it. They can go out and burn flags. I don't care. They can go out, start shooting heroin, and join a French resistance movement, and sit around in a cafe, in a beret, really considering homosexuality as a lifestyle alternative. Whatever they want to do. But until then, it is my responsibility as a parent to give them the very best possible tuition I can. And one of the things that I think is kind of a cool and important thing is the consciousness of being an American citizen and what that's about.
Sounds gay to me.
Okay, well, I thought I'd bring it up. That's all I had to say about that. On to the next topic. Michael Jordan is out as president of the Wizards.
Yeah!
I only say that to say that Michael Jordan, whatever, right, about Michael Jordan. I mean, the cat was the owner of the Wizards, and I guess he sucks, and so they fired him, fine. But I will say this. Somebody said that they made a lot of money while he was president of the Washington Wizards because people, I guess, were excited about the prospect of seeing him out on the floor. So, Michael, head on, man. It's time for you to retire. The reason why I mention this story, though, is because it's always been a fond dream of mine, as well as most other men, to own a sports franchise. I would just dig it. I've always wanted to own a professional football team. I just think it would be the coolest thing on earth. Tell me what is cooler than that? I mean, well, there are things, but just like on a Sunday afternoon, while you're, you know, not with Bubbles, your stripper wife, sitting there in a luxury suite, with the, you know, the big beer right there at that desk thing those guys sit at, and the camera comes to you occasionally.
There's the owner of the L.A. Mexicans, Phil Hendry. He looks very upset with the team right now.
You know, I'll be scowling, you know. 3rd and 10 for the Mexicans, and that's a touchdown! And then we're jumping up and down the booth. And speaking of that, see, people are laughing. Why can't I call a team the L.A. Mexicans? You know, these sports team names reflect nothing. They say nothing. They mean nothing. They're just silly, stupid names that old men wanted to put on a team. The Cougars? The Panthers? What, do you got some stuffed animals at home on your bunk bed? What? Just say what it is. What is L.A.? Oh, gee, what do we call the L.A. team? The Express, the Freeway, the Mexicans! Proud Mexicans, but this was used to be Mexico. The city was founded by Mexicans. Call it the L.A. Mexicans. And while we're on the subject, see, people are going to think I'm being racist, and I'm not at all. We've had the Boston Celtics, and we've had the Minnesota Vikings, one of the dumbest names of any sports team ever, when you consider the fact that the entire Purple People Eater line was black. The Vikings. Why can't I have a team called the Los Angeles Africans? Well, what if you have white players? Yeah, what if I have white players? I had a team called the Celtics, and they're all black. What are you, nuts? They got shamrocks on their freaking pants. Well, I don't know, you know.
It's the luck of the Irish. Yeah, the luck of the Irish.
The guy's face comes from freaking Mozambique. Get out of here. Well, I'm not going to be in any... I'm a white guy. I'm going to be in the L.A. Africans? Yeah, so what? You know, 2 generations of black guys that had to put up being on the Celtics and the Vikings... And there was a team once called the... How about the Canadiens? I know there's black guys in Canada, but how many, right? What if a black player goes up? Well, it doesn't apply. But I really was thinking there's teams that actually reflect some ethnicity. The team mascot name reflects a certain ethnicity. Why not the Africans? It makes sense. 75% of professional sports players are African-American. It's a proud continent. It's a noble tradition, a noble culture to be a part of, and a noble race of people. What's wrong with being called the L.A. Africans? But you won't have anybody name a team that. Why?
Well, it's racist.
I tell you right now that the Vikings is racist, and so is the Celtics. The Celtics? They use the Indians. Why can't they use the Africans? How about the Chinese? Nothing could be more appropriate. All right, two on, the San Francisco Chinese in town for 3 games.
Nothing is more appropriate than that. Long ball. All right, and so the Chinese go to 11-3 on the season. But no, they, how about that? How about this? See this, you know, and again, people think I'm kidding, but I'm not. The New York Puerto Ricans hockey team. How about it, man? Right, National Hockey League hockey is on the air here, Hockey Night in Canada. Well, tonight, the Calgary Stampeders are down at Madison Square Garden against the New York Puerto Ricans. And I got to tell you, I laugh because I love. I kid because I love. But see, something, the Miami Cubans. I got a little, you know, that Madden 2003 that I play? I've got a league that I put together. I've got a team called the Miami Cubans. And there's white guys on it. I don't think there's one Hispanic on the whole team. There's like a black guys and white guys. And there's no. So I gave a couple of them Hispanic last names. I think I took John Randall of the Seattle Seahawks and I named him something like Art Dominguez, just so it would be cool, you know. All right, well, good riddance. I mean, good luck, Michael Jordan. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry. Wait, there's a noise outside. I'm going to have to go investigate it. I'll be right back.
Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
This may be a load of crap, but I think it may. I sort of want it to be true. Ashton Kutcher, is that the guy's name? He's from That 70s Show. He's a real heartthrob, and he was in the movie, or is going to be in the movie, what? Ashton? Seriously, dude? Oh, yeah, that's the greatest name to a sequel I've ever heard. The movie was Dude, Where's My Car? The sequel is Seriously, Dude, Where's My Car? So he's in that flick. Anyway, the New York Post reports that he and a friend met Jenna and Barbara Bush at a Nike party, invited them back to his house. Kutcher insisted the Secret Service remain outside, and the Bushes were underage, drinking at my house, he tells the magazine, Rolling Stone. And when I checked outside, one of the Secret Service guys asked me if they'd be spending the night. I said no, and then I go upstairs to see another friend, and I can smell the green wafting out under his door. I open the door, and there he is smoking out the Bush twins on his hookah. This friend of Ashton Kutcher was blasting the weed. He was smoking the ganja. He was sparking the owl with the Bush monsters. Holy Jesus. Do you realize if these two kids were Clinton's kids? See, this is the whole predictability of the modern conservative radio. The silly, stupid, sappy, non-creative thrust of modern conservative radio. If these were Clinton's kids,
this is another example of how Bill Clinton is corrupting the country.
Or whatever variation. I mean, look at all the guys you got on the air now who are conservative hosts. You got Mike Medved, nice man. I met him at the R&R talk radio seminar. He wouldn't leave me alone, but that's okay. I understand I'm an idol of his, so that's okay. Michael, I love you, man, but, you know, why don't you go back to reviewing movies or something? Jeez. You got Hannity, you got Savage, you got Limbaugh. Limbaugh's the only guy you need. He's the guy that invented the whole thing. Just keep him and tell the rest of those numbnuts to go back to work at that Ace. Go get a bag and start loading some carts. Jeez, what are you guys doing in the radio studio?
Well, I want to be a talk show host.
Get back there and stock the shelves like you were doing. Where'd they find these guys? Get back in there and start restocking those Tonka trucks and stop with this talk radio nonsense.
Mom said I could if I were...
Mom, bullcrap, Mom. God, you talk about the same thing day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. Bill Clinton's the reason for all of our problems. Just listen to all 98 of those guys. They'll tell you the same thing. And the big problem with America today are the liberals. As if liberals... All of us are the same, right? In other words, we can't believe in war. I'm one liberal. I love war. And I just got done enjoying that Iraq war so much, I may watch it again. I taped the whole thing. I'm going to go back home tonight and watch it all over again.
Every last one of those guys is the same stupid sounding. If the Bush twins were Clinton's kids, they'd be hanging him up on the cross one more time. But here's the thing. These two kids go down to Ashton Kutcher's roommate's room, and the guy sparks the owl with the two of these butter hogs. And the next thing you know, it's in the New York Post, and nobody, you know, big wow. You know, why aren't they... Look, I think President Bush is essentially a decent guy, but obviously he blew it with these two kids. Come on, isn't anybody going to talk about that? Doesn't anybody want to talk about that? No, nobody wants to talk about that. Not Limbaugh, not none of those guys want to talk about how Bush, as a father, has obviously drastically fallen down as a father to these two girls. I mean, if these stories are to be believed... Laying around on a beach in Mexico with the freaking dresses up over their heads. Jesus, you'd think it was frat night at Senior Frogs. Next thing you know, they're going to be, well, then we picked her up out of a pool of her own vomit at Senior Frogs and loaded her onto the party bus, and we got her back to the cantina. What do you mean, the cantina? Yes, sir. And I don't blame the Secret Service. It ain't their job. It's not their job to keep people from being immoral. It's their job to make sure they don't get killed, I guess. But they got to do what they're told to do, too.
I'm going to take a shower.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I have to come into the bathroom to make sure that it's...
No, I'm taking a shower. You're going to stay outside.
Well, all right. If you insist. Yeah, I think it... I have to come in and inspect the toilet after you get done using it to make sure there's no... Nobody wants to talk about that. If Clinton's kids were the Bush twins, if these two kids were his kids... It wouldn't end. It wouldn't end. It wouldn't end. I mean, first of all, if there wasn't a guy named Bill Clinton, 99% of the clowns that are on the radio today doing this conservative thing, they wouldn't even have a job. They wouldn't even be in the business. Because that's the only thing they got to talk about. It's the only reason they got for all of the mess we're in today. It's the one thing they can keep falling back on when they neither have the intellect, the facts, or really the historical historical credentials as conservatives to even comment on it. These guys became conservatives 3 weeks ago when they figured it would get them ratings. That's when they became conservatives. I listen to these cats, man, and I'm telling you right now, see, the thing that bothers me more than anything else, I love radio. It's been my life for 30 years, and I'm a professional. And these rank amateurs that they bring into this business morning, noon, and night. One guy used to be plunging toilets for a living, and another guy, he was, who knows what, he was breaking legs for a living. Now these guys are on the radio. You get these two Bush twins in there, smoking dope, drinking beer, doing shots, doing body shots, doing jello shooters, doing the Jaeger shots, you know. I mean, doing the Cabbage Patch and the Running Man after doing like 6, 7 Jaeger shots and 15 Jell-O shots in a row, and everything's just groovy, baby. If they were Clinton's kids, they would have had him hammered to another cross right up there next to Jesus. On conservative radio. All right, this is Phil Hendry. Dr. Laura wants me to taste her banana loaf, so I'll be right back.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
It is Celine Dion's husband cleared of a rape charge. Pete Townsend is cleared of possessing kiddie porn. They got a basketball coach who had a couple of beers and kissed a couple of co-eds. And now this cat is, he may not have a gig anymore because, oh my God, and he's an alcoholic to boot, maybe. And another guy who went partying with students, maybe he's going to lose his job. You know, there's some people that can't get by in this life without making somebody else's life miserable. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. There are people in this world who possess so little talent for anything that the only real talent they have is to try to extort money out of other people by lying about them. How do I know? It happened to me. It happened to me. Now, I can't go into details, but I will tell you this. And when I'm telling you this, this is the truth. This is the truth. I worked at a radio station where there was another individual on the air. and she had about the worst radio show you've ever heard in your life. Now, as I've said, I love the radio business. I've given 30 years of my life to it. I've investigated it, explored it. I've used the medium for every potential possible purpose. I'm always delighting in seeing what I can do. If there's one thing that I don't like, it's amateurs. I don't mind an amateur that's on the air, say, in Bakersfield. I don't mind an amateur that gets on the air with their first show in Winter Park, Florida. I don't mind somebody who's an amateur maybe getting on the air for the first time in Ventura, California. I went back to Ventura at the age of 38, started my career all over again. What I don't like are amateurs that are put on the air in major markets. In other words, that's like taking some kid out of Little League and sticking him on the New York Mets. It's bad for the kid. It's bad for the team. He's only going to wind up making himself look terrible. And in the process, the team gets hurt. But in radio, as in television, they have no problem with that. They'll take somebody right off the street who hasn't been in front of a microphone, the only thing they've ever had in front of their mouth, well, let's not mention it, and put them on the air, and they sound like crap. Their show sounds like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be cruel, but you know what? I think I'm doing them a favor by pointing it out. I really do. Somebody's got to do it. Someone has got to do it. And at least I'm saying it on the air. I'm not saying it behind closed doors. I'm not saying it in the privacy of a conversation. I'm not saying it behind anybody's back. I said it on the air. This person's show is embarrassing. That's how bad it is. And my audience agreed. What do you think happens? The next thing I know, I have been accused of the most pathological horse manure in the world. This individual is lying left and right about me, saying that I said this and that I said that. I mean, unbelievable lies. You know, I never really knew what it must be like to be a part of a spree shooting, like walking into McDonald's and some guy comes out with a gun and shoots you dead, and you're dead before you even know that you're dead. You can get a little bit of a sense of that when someone out of the blue starts saying things about you publicly that have no relationship to reality whatsoever. Why? Because I said on the air that her show sucked. And you want to know something? It did then, it does now, and it will forevermore. She was terrible. So she starts saying things about me and then leaks them to a local newspaper. Now, let me tell you, you guys may say, well, Phil, it wasn't true, so what are you worried about? Once it goes public, when someone says, for instance, this is not what you said about me, but for instance, if somebody says, you're a child molester, and you stand there and you say, what in the hell are you talking about? You're guilty, man. You're guilty. You're guilty. You are dead because just saying it, the stink of that, you can't get off of yourself for years. I mean, you'd have to scrub yourself down with Coast, Irish Spring, Old Spice, a little bit of lava, and then throw in just a nice steel brush, and you still wouldn't get the stench of that off of you for years. And people that lie and do it publicly and say those things publicly know it. They know it better than anybody. They know that the lie is far more damaging than the truth is healing. If you say that about somebody, you say it big enough and you say it loud enough, man, and you can really hurt somebody. And this individual tried to do that to me. And not only tried to do it to me, tried to do it to people close to me. Not only went after me, went after people close to me. I am telling you right now that I suffered this indignation. It was put into a public newspaper in this city by a writer who I think is picking up garbage now. I don't know what he's doing. And I won't even tell you the name of the newspaper because I think they're out of business anyway. And I was angry. Now, I wanted to sue, naturally. And I also wanted to sue the paper. And everybody close to me, including my attorney, said, okay, you can sue, but if you sue for libel and slander in America, here's what happens. You put yourself on trial more than the person you're suing, because what you have to prove is that they hurt you. And in order for you to prove that they hurt you, you have to open up your personal life. Are you going to a psychiatrist? Are you taking medication? Just exactly how did they hurt you, Mr. Hendry? And in the process, you give that scumbag that lied about you, that tried to destroy your reputation and your career, you give that individual publicity, which is the very reason why in the first place they said what they said. So I was advised against it, and I didn't. I wanted to go after the newspaper for the very same reason. I was going to sue them so that they wouldn't exist any longer. I was told the same thing. Phil, all you're going to do is make a failing newspaper successful by giving them publicity. So I didn't do anything. I sat there and I sucked on it. And I listened to the media, the radio media in this town, reprint these things as if it was truth. I listened to people talk about it as if it was truth. And there's kind of a funny postscript, but I'll get to that later. And I had to sit there and suck on this until, you know, the anger just sort of left me. And then I saw these, I see these stories pop up. This guy had a beer. Is he a rapist? This guy's kissing girls. Is he fondling students? The guy had a beer and kissed a couple of girls. And people who've got nothing better to do decide to grab a hold of that and run with it. Because they got no talent for anything else. They got no talent for anything else. The only talent they got is banging a stick on a trash can lid. See how many people they can wake up and get pissed off. That's the person that did that to me. That was her talent. She had no talent on the radio. The only thing she knew how to do was lie as big and as often as she could and get all kinds of attention, and maybe she could extort some money. So these guys engage in the same kind of thing. Let me just tell you something. If you got a conscience at all, and people that do this have no conscience, so however, some people with consciences may get sucked into this thing. If you have a conscience at all, be clear about what it is you're saying about somebody. Because if you're wrong, if it's just party gossip and idle chit-chat, and you decide you're just going to repeat it because, well, you know, it sounds really interesting, you are screwing with somebody's reputation, and you could very well be absolutely wrong about what you're saying. Now, these coaches, I don't know, the one guy says that he went to a bar and he had a stripper in the room. He admits to that, but he denies that he bought drugs. Isn't that essentially the thrust of it? Why would the guy admit that he had a stripper in his room, you know, but if he's lying, what, you know, lie about the whole thing? Hey, you know, did you have a stripper in your room? No, I didn't do any of it. I mean, that's you figure the guy would say something like that. You don't figure something. Yes, I did have the stripper, but I didn't have drugs. Number two, this dude with the beer and the girls that he kissed, he said he did not. Oh, this is it. This guy Price did not have sex in his Pensacola hotel room that night. And he denied allegations that he bought alcoholic drinks for students in Tuscaloosa bars on other occasions. And then the other story, this guy who was seen kissing co-eds, and it became the biggest story. It was the biggest news. Why? Because people got nothing better to do. That's why. That's the only reason why those stories are big news. Nobody has got anything to do. You talk about no life. The guys that write this stuff, the people that print this stuff, the people that read it, the people that talk about it got nothing better to do. They got no talent for actually finding real news. They got no ability to actually comment on things that are unpredictable, you know, that are original. They got to go to the very predictable, politically correct garbage and make commentary on it. I'm reading a column here in a paper. The guy says, yes, he should be gone. This guy, Larry Ustashi, the basketball coach at Iowa State, admitted his addiction. The timing was interesting. The school was on the verge of firing Ustashi after photos emerged showing him drinking and kissing women at several college parties. Okay, and it goes on to say, you know, he went on to say, yeah, I've got a problem. Okay. Now this writer, though, says, well, let's take a look at his program. You got a kid that's busted for booze. You got another kid that was arrested on drug charges. Another guy that was nabbed on DUI. Another kid that was nabbed with marijuana possession. So let's fire the coach. Do you know how many college programs have these problems? And the coaches keep their jobs? This guy's going to go, why? Because he kissed a co-ed on the cheek and had a beer? Got nothing better to do. Go out and lie about somebody. Boy, this stuff, man, I'm going to tell you. And back last year when the Catholic priest thing was happening, which I was very happy to see every last one of those guilty sons of bitches put away for a long time. Very, very happy. But do you recall when it became a real frenzy, it got a little scary. They were naming names and accusing men of sexually molesting children, and the facts weren't yet out on the table. And it got very, very much like a fascist feeding frenzy, like a book burning, like they were burning effigies. Like, it was really weird. It was like Salem, man. And you started to say, I got to back away from this a little bit, because there may be some innocent people who are going to get hung here. We got to stop, you know, can we slow down a little bit? There were people marching in front of houses, you know, child molesters, sexual molesters, and it turned out later on that they had the wrong house. You know, they were on the wrong street. Good God. Everybody should go through what I went through at least once in their life to know what it's like to have someone violate you publicly like that in an attempt to extort money, and there's nothing you can do about it, and there's nothing you can say about it. Your attorney has told you don't talk about it. You can't talk about it, Phil, because it may go to trial. Don't use names. What do I do? Well, let's just wait and see. I want to sue. I wouldn't do that. You sit and you just sit and take it. Everybody ought to go through it once in their life to find out exactly how close to you it can be. And I'll give an example. You can be in your office, and what we do on our show is we create. We come up with ideas. We come up with concepts. We create. And when in the creative process, you throw around a lot of ideas. You use a lot of different words because you're jumbling things together to come up with a different satirical approach or a different way to comment on something. And some of those words may be offensive to some people. They may be colloquial. They may be racial. But you're using them the way a writer uses words. He uses them all to make a point, hopefully a very positive point. Do you realize that if somebody's walking by my office door and they hear us say a word that they find offensive, theoretically, they could go to my boss and say that it is a hostile working environment? Theoretically. Now, my boss would probably say something like this. Phil, why don't you shut the door to your office so people don't hear this stuff? And you know what, Janice? Let's shut the door to our office so people don't hear that stuff. But the point is, if they've got a vendetta of some kind, if they've got a problem, if they're pissed at me for some reason, if I didn't sign an autograph, or I snubbed them at the Christmas party, or I'm not particularly friendly, brother, watch out. Well, that's it. And I hope you've learned something. Now I need to call my wife. I'll be right back. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Whitney Allen there. She's great. That's Whit. Did you go to her Cinco de Mayo party? Janice. Didn't I tell you? Get something to eat before you go over there and drink that straight bourbon intravenously. Going over to Whitney Allen's house this past weekend, doing tequila through a intravenous feeding tube and nothing on her stomach. Okay. Join Whitney on America Overnight. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Now, Jay Santos was on our show the other day. You know, Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Well, Jay was talking about bachelorette parties and how destructive they are. As a matter of fact, he and Subcommander whoever were going to stop those bachelorette parties from actually happening. And a woman called in and said if she wants to have a bachelorette party, she's damn well going to have it. Jay doesn't like them because he thinks too many women are choosing sex over going into the nunhood, and it's thinning out the nun ranks.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
If I wanted to have a bachelorette party for my daughter, my niece, or whatever, I'll have it.
Well,
I think auxiliary police, your purpose is to help the police. Driving by and seeing crime, or just driving by, is usually a deterrent. Crime will stop. You're taking and you're wasting your time. If I had the bachelorette party and you came to bust up, I would call the police on you.
Wait a minute, ma'am. Right in there, you think you got some guy doing, you know, getting jiggy with it, as the kids say. He's got his underwear on.
I had a bachelor party for my husband, and with a stripper there. So?
Ma'am, I think men can handle it.
Women can handle a lot more. Women are the one who gets raped, not men.
That's exactly correct, ma'am. And we don't want that to happen either. That's why we're going to...
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that the male stripper threatens to rape the women in the party?
That could happen.
Oh, bull.
Please watch your language, Sharon.
I'm sorry.
Why do you say that's bull? Why do you say that's bull? Because if the guy comes
you mean
in...
A woman has a little bit of drink, she's going to fall all over him?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
A woman's going to have a couple drinks and she's going to fall over him?
I think
she's going to leave her morals at the door? Are you really underestimate women?
Ma'am, what I'm trying to say is this. A man who's a male stripper, on account of some of these parties, he goes in there, he could get raped by these women. Now, what I'm saying is...
Wait. The guys...
Well, she can laugh. Let me ask you this, ma'am. Have you ever come home with glitter on your face?
With what on my face?
Have you ever come home with glitter on your face?
No.
Glitter. You know the glitter that the people wear when they dance?
No.
Okay, well, my wife did one night. And I'll never forget that night. March 17th, 1998, 0200 hours.
You can get glitter from clothes. I have a blouse that when, yes, when I wore it, I got glitter on my face, my arms, my skirt, because of the glitter on the blouse.
Well, I thought maybe she, somehow he made contact with my wife's face.
No, I wore a blouse that had glitter on, glitter and sequins, and the glitter came off. So,
well,
yes,
I'll have to check that out.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'll check that out.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police there. Now, show that you're a big supporter of Jay's. Get that Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug and get it today. Yes, it comes in a beautiful silver and black. It's a great travel mug, stainless steel, and you travel around with a deal. That's why they call it a travel mug. You can stick it right there in a cup holder in the car, suck down a couple of cups of coffee, go over there to that Starbucks, jam in a little of that latte, cram in a little of that cappuccino, tell the guy with the goatee at the behind the counter, you know, with the little beret and kind of the hair is spiked into sort of a Lucifer look, may I help you? And, you know, like 15 rings in his nose, big stud ruby in his nose, and saying, yeah, I'd like a latte. Cafe, latte, cubano, cappuccino, cubano, you know, and he's, whatever. Just get it and pour it into that mug. And also the Jay Sanis Citizens Auxiliary Police baseball cap and jacket. We have it in black or blue. Go to the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, and click onto the souvenir shop, brother. We'll be right back. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Arnold Schwarzenegger's out in the hall, and he wants to meet me, so I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ain't nothing happening in the world at all. Saddam Hussein's supposed to send out a tape. Boy, those guys are good with sending out them tapes, aren't they? This guy's got a tape, and another guy's got a tape, and Osama's going to have a tape, and Saddam's coming out not only with a tape, but a CD set. And Osama's coming out with his own competing CD set. You know, they can't do anything. They can't fight. They can't rule a country. They can't get their toilets to flush. But by God, those guys can make videotapes and tapes like it's going out of style. And they got another one coming out and another one coming out. And Al Jazeera will have it. And Al Jazeera going to have this. Do those guys at Al Jazeera do anything on their own, or they just take tapes in the mail? I got a tape I'll send them. Put this one on. It's me and an ex-girlfriend. Thanksgiving 1983. Let's just say I just bought the RCA camcorder. Let's just say that. Rochelle, where are you? Are you still in town? Anyway, tape this, tape that. Hussein's got a tape coming out. I got your tape. You know the guy they're going to have on it? You know what? If they're going to break out the tape, it'll be Chucko the Clown or something. It'll be a goof. It'll be Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy or something. It'll be, you know, Jack Nicholson as the Joker. He ain't got a tape. If he's alive, good, he's alive. Nobody's listening to these guys, man. This jihad thing, it ain't working out. I don't know if I told you this. I think I mentioned it. The jihad deal ain't working out, baby. Ain't nobody want to go jihad, man. All they want is a swimming pool and a nice car and a nice gig. That is the beginning and the end of all life. That's really what our TV pilot's about. Seriously, no kidding. Our TV pilot is about a gated community. And what is a gated community about? What is neighborhood about? What is America about? It's about having those good things. See, Marx got it all wrong, man. The commies got it all wrong. They thought everybody wanted to be equal. People don't want to be equal. People just want to live good. That doesn't necessarily mean they want to be equal. If everybody can live good, that's great. But I want to live good. I don't want to beat a guy up because of his race, his religion. I think everybody ought to have a shot, but I want to live good, man. That's the American way. That's the American creed, and that's where it's at. It ain't about race. The propaganda down through the years wanted us to make it about race. The people who were hate mongers wanted to manipulate us into thinking it was about race. They wanted to pit us against each other, black against white, Jew against Gentile. They wanted us to do that in a bad way, all of the little minds, all the hate mongers, but they couldn't. They couldn't do it because nobody's interested in doing that. No one's interested in that. You have to find out what compels human beings. And what compels human beings is just to live good. And what do I mean by good? To some guy, it may be, God, I'm taking my son fishing on Saturday. This is the life, man. I got no better life than, man, I got a boat and I got a little three-horse outboard and we're going to go out and we're going to fish. To another guy, it's surfing. To somebody else, who knows? Who cares? That's what makes it such a great place to live, man. You can do whatever you want. Right? Why the hell am I talking about this? That's why what's going on right now in the Middle East is so far afield of where people really want to be, no matter who they are. They just want to live good. Give me my house, give me a car, give me a job to go to, give me my kids, give me some porn tapes on the weekend, I promise I won't turn any kids onto them. Give me a football game on a Sunday afternoon, wouldn't mind going out and maybe, you know, blasting a couple of beers, you know, down at the local sports bar, shoot a game of pool. What the hell, man, I ain't asking for the world here. That's what the average guy wants to do. That's what it's all about today, 2003. And I'm telling you, that's why our TV pilot, I ain't heard from NBC. They're not going to put it on the air. But I tell you, they ought to, because that's exactly what our show's about. Our show is cutting through the bullcrap, and it's about the very thing that is always been of interest to the American people and everybody around the world. It's the struggle to be happy and to have the things that can help you get there. Ain't about being white against black. It ain't about Jew versus white. It ain't about Jack versus Jill. It ain't about man versus woman. All that stuff was sold to us, and we were sold a bill of goods. When we were coming up and somebody said, that guy's a Jew, you shouldn't like him. Someone said, that guy's white, you shouldn't like him. When we were coming up as kids and said, that guy's a Mexican, those people were taking us off the track. Why? Because they didn't get what they wanted to get. Those people were losers who decided to take everybody else off the track, too. And the real track leads to the real happiness, and the real happiness can be sometimes, the way can be made easy for us if we've got the things in this world that we like to have, whether it's a good car, good job, etc. So anyway, I say all of that to say, that's why that jihad ain't working. Nobody wants to go to war for you, Osama. Nobody wants to go to war for you, Saddam. You know, if Islam needs anything, you know, about, 600 years ago, whenever the hell it was, a guy by the name of Martin Luther reformed the Christian church. He went up to a cathedral and he hammered a bunch of stuff on the cathedral, and it was the way to reform the Catholic Church. He said it was corrupt and it needed to be reformed. Now, Martin Luther wasn't the greatest guy in the world. As a matter of fact, he was a virulent anti-Semite. But the fact is, he was a reformer. And if Islam ever needed its own Martin Luther, man, it needs it right now. It needs some guy to come along and hammer his own ideas up on the mosque door, because they're stuck in like 1392, baby, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Or was that 1492? I'm pretty sure it was 1392. Nah, don't look at me like that, Pelton. I know what IR talk about. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Who gives a crap? This is what I really wanted to talk about. There's an article about children. A woman who has a boy out of wedlock is much more likely to marry the father than if she has a girl. U.S. economists reported on Monday. A woman who has a boy out of wedlock is more likely to marry the father than if she has a girl. This is a study by two University of Washington economists. The study analyzed data from a national study of 600 children born to single mothers and found a woman was 42 times more likely to marry the father of her son than she was to marry the father of her daughter. Well, what does all of this mean? I don't know. I do know this. In China, they drown little girls. Over here, you just let them starve to death. No, I don't know. But I will say this. There's a great deal of that chip off the old block mentality among a lot of men. They like to have their boy. And my wife, Maria, tells me a story. When I hear this story, sometimes I could bawl. I don't know. It's poignant. When she was a little girl, she was out fishing with her father. And they were out on a lake. And they were fishing. And they spent the whole day together, fishing and swimming and navigating this lake and doing things together as a father and a daughter. And at one point, as the afternoon drew to a close, her father looked at her and said, "You know, this has been a lot of fun, Maria. It's too bad you're not a boy." And she said, yeah, Dad, you're right, because that was the mindset then. I mean, she was too young to get offended, and really he didn't mean to offend her, but that was the mindset and probably still is. Boy, you know, there's nothing like having your son with you when you go fishing as opposed to having your daughter with you. Now, me, on the other hand, I had a vasectomy. Why? I don't care. I don't. I got 4 stepkids, friend. That's enough for me. And when we got married, you know, Maria said to me, "I will have a baby. I will have your baby if you want me to." And I said, "You know what? Are you kidding?" I was 44 at the time. She had just turned 40 or 39. I said, I got four stepkids. You got 4 kids, and the youngest one is 5. If we have a baby now, that means that kid is going to be 5 years behind its next oldest sibling. And on top of everything else, kids being kids and people being people, their mom is newly married to this guy, Phil. And how are they going to feel when Junior pops into the scene? Brand new Junior Phil pops into the scene, or Philalina. Philalina Jr. pops into the scene, and how are they going to feel? I'll tell you how they're going to feel. They're going to want to drown it. I can't take that chance. The two oldest guys, when we said, "Well, we may have a kid," they're like, "Well, I know what, I'm going to run away from home." Run away from home? Yeah, that's how kids are. It's an intrusion. It's first of all, they got to adjust to this new marriage, and secondly, a kid? I didn't blame them. But the biggest thing was, I don't know when I lost it. I don't care whether I have my own blood on this earth or not. I don't care. I really don't care. My friend back in Miami used to say, "Dude, you're going to become a evolutionary cul-de-sac if you don't have kids." I said, "Well, what do you want from me? I'm not going to have a kid and a wife, bring them into this life. This is the most, I'm living like a gypsy right now. I'm driving around in a car that's got a rusted out roof." So we made the decision the summer we got married that I would have a vasectomy. Why? Well, first of all, a woman taking birth control pills, if it's a choice between you having a vasectomy or your wife taking birth control pills, you better butch up and have the vasectomy, because birth control pills mess with her biochemistry, mess with the hormones. You know, you may be married to Mrs. Hyde in about 6 months, Jim. She keeps taking them birth control pills. She'll start growing hair in her palms and, you know, going out at night sucking the blood of the newly dead. I don't know what she'll do. You just don't need it. Birth control pills are bad for a woman's biochemistry. Bad. Secondly, who wants to screw around with a condom? Thirdly, well, I don't want to say the alternative to the regular kind of sex. Some women aren't into that. So that would leave vasectomy. So I said, hell, I'll go have a vasectomy. And my wife said to me, "Well, if you have a vasectomy, I tell you what I'll do. The weekend, you know, you take Friday off, you'll have the vasectomy, and that weekend is yours. I will be your slave." I said, "How can I pass that up?" So I went down to good old Dr. Himsel, And he, you know, talked to me about it. Now, Phil, the first thing we do is we take gardening shears to your nutsack. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Just loosening things up. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there, you know, sweat pouring down my face. Really? Nah, it's cool, baby. And remember, Phil, that only a small percentage of men who have vasectomies go on to get prostate cancer. But I'm sure that you'll be just fine. I'm listening to all these statistics, I'm thankful that he's being honest with me, like he's not going to be honest with me. Hey, Doc, are you being honest? Well, actually, I'm holding some things back, but I'm only kidding about the prostate cancer thing. Look, will you quit screwing around and give me the right thing? I really want my own show, man. Can you help me? Sure. Just give me the right stuff. Okay. So he, great doctor, he gives me all of the information I need, and the day comes, and I'm telling you the truth, and I know you're not going to believe me, but I don't have a problem with needles. I think it's because I've force myself to conquer my fear as a little boy. I would watch the needle go right into my... I would, like, you know, like G. Gordon Liddy ate rat meat because he was afraid of rats. And you do get a shot there in the Royal American, man. There you go. Look at this. Like, every guy in the room right now is holding on to his... He's just... Woo! Well, the first thing the nurse says to me, Mr. Henry, would you like a Valium? Here's a Valium. I said, well, I what's that for? Well, it's a lot of men. It calms them down. I said, I really don't need it. Well, we'd rather you take it. Oh. So she gave me the Valium. I really don't remember coming onto that Valium. I really honestly don't, because I was wide awake. It was a local anesthetic. Well, you go into the room, you lay down on a table, and this doctor is great because he tries to make it as chill for you as possible. I went in there with a book I borrowed from my son, Beavis and Butthead Do America. So I'm laying down there with the book. My wife comes in. The doctor's there. And it's like the Jerry Lewis show. Yeah, how you doing, huh? Looking good? All right. Hey, listen, let me tell you the one about the guy who goes to the... You know, it's just like you're in a barber chair. And you kind of are. But he... Then... Here comes the show. Okay, Phil, you're going to feel a little... you're going to feel a little prick. Just a joke. No, you're going to feel a little pinprick. I said, okay. And I did. And it was just little. It wasn't anything painful at all. And that was it, man. And the next thing I know, he's working away. Now, here's the weirdest part of the story. I don't know how many people have turned off by now, how many men I've got turning off the radio by now, but it was a tradition, I guess, with this doctor, and a lot of doctors who perform vasectomies, the wife or the woman is in the room, and believe me, I honestly, I didn't ask her to come in. She just, the doctor and the nurse said, oh, come on in, you can watch. Well, the vas is the canal that is severed, and it is his tradition to allow the wife to do it. He gave her the little scissors, and she did it. And it was done. Took about 40 minutes. Meanwhile, I'm talking to people. I'm saying things occasionally like, are you guys... Oh, yeah, everything's fine, Phil. They give you a prescription for codeine or some painkiller. They tell you to go home and put ice on it. Now, here's the thing. Before I went in, I talked about it on the air before I had my vasectomy. I said, you know, well, I'm going to have a vasectomy. Yeah, okay, here comes all the guys calling in. Oh, man. I mean, they'll swell up to the size of the watermelons and everything. Yeah, man, are you getting a vasectomy? Yeah. I had one of those, man. I'm still not normal from it. You know, every kind of bull crap. But the one, you know, yeah, they'll turn black and blue, get about the size of, like, you know, I don't know, cantaloupes, and they'll stay like that for 2 days. Then they swell back out to the size of beach balls, go down to the size of two plums for about 4 days, then they regenerate out. Have you got a wheelbarrow or anything? Because you'll need to kind of carry them around in that for about 4 weeks. And then finally, after 6 months, you can have sex with your wife. Well, all of that was bullcrap, but I did have to wait like 2 weeks. Well, the doctor said to wait 2 weeks before you had sex, which naturally, sure, yeah, right. But I tried. And so, but the ice pack, and the best news about this whole experience for me was that my wife was true to her word. She said, you know what? This is your weekend now, man. Whatever you want. Okay, here's what I want. I want the TV. I want a six-pack of Jack Daniels coolers. I want that bottle of pain pills, I want the remote, and I want you to go to the video store for the following movies. And, yeah, it was a ball game on his own, but it was really cool, and she fed me dinner in bed, and it's worth it, dude. I mean, if you're going to have a vasectomy, make sure that you extort these promises from your wife. But I guarantee you, she will do it for you. Women dig it. And the reason why guys don't have vasectomies is not because it's painful. The reason why guys don't have vasectomies is because they think it goes against nature for a man to stop his ability to procreate rather than a woman. Because nature says, according to a lot of people, men are supposed to go out and spread their seed. And it's like against the whole natural rhythm. My wife's on the phone. She just heard this rap and she wants to chastise me. I'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryeshow.com. When you go to the website, you need a backstage pass to hear all of the classic audio. And we have got some bits going back years, some of the most classic stuff that the world of radio has ever heard, seen, sniffed, smelt, dealt with. It's all there on our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And the backstage pass for $6.95 a month gives you access to all of it, including our webcast archive. We've done two webcasts. We've had a 360-degree camera in here, and we've done two webcasts using it. You can go back, take a look at those. And as the years go by and the technology improves, it'll get a little clearer. But it's very interesting to sort of scan the studio and look at me. Craig's gone, so if you miss him, you can see him on the webcast. Mark's here, so next year we'll do it with him, and who knows how that'll go. Phil Henry Show.
And now, here's Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
So I was talking to my wife, and she said to say hello to you guys. And she told me a joke, and I thought I would, I'd repeat it to you. A man walking along a California beach was deep in prayer. Suddenly, the sky clouded above his head, and in a booming voice, the Lord said, "Because you've tried to be faithful to me in all ways, I will grant you one wish." The man said, "Well, you can build a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over any time I want." The Lord said, "Your request is very materialistic. Think of the enormous challenges for that kind of undertaking. The supports required to reach the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete and steel it would take. It will nearly exhaust several natural resources. I can do it, but it's hard for me to justify your desire for worldly things. Take a little more time and think of something that would honor and glorify me." The man thought about it for a long time. Finally, he said, "Lord, I wish that I could understand my wife. I want to know how she feels inside, what she's thinking when she gives me the silent treatment, why she cries, what she means when she says nothing's wrong, and how I can make a woman truly happy." And God replied, "You want two lanes or four on that bridge?"
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter? Yep, bean dip.
Yeah, that's what I think of that joke. Baby, that was bean dip all the way. Thank you for the joke. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to go over to Pasadena. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Is this Jeff? Go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I was listening to your program yesterday, and you were talking about how a head can look at stuff on account it got chopped off, and I done some research.
Okay, Chris, is this the guy? Go ahead.
Yeah. The title of the article, and you can find it on www.http://.
Just give me the name of the site, okay?
What?
Just give me the name of the site, man.
Yeah, it's europeanhistory.about.com, or, no, wait a minute. It's your...
Never mind. What does the thing say?
No, wait a minute. It's europeanhistory.about.com/library/... BLDYK.
Jesus.
10.htm, okay? It's an article written by a guy named, it doesn't say. And,
okay, so what is the name of the article?
What? I'm sorry, man. I had, it was a Quiznos. And
okay, that's fine. So what was the name of the article?
Yeah, it's called, Does a Head of a Guillotine, Do a Guillotine Head Still See Stuff?
That's the name of it?
Well, it's called, Does the Head of a Guy Who Doesn't Have a Head. Okay. It's called a...
What does it say on the thing?
Well, I took notes.
All right, what is the name of it? And, or see, we can find it at europeanhistory.about.com, and it's called...
Yeah, do a head of a guy that got it cut off stay alive.
Okay, can you read it to me?
Yeah. Of the many stories associated with the guillotine, one theme continues to dominate, receiving comments from historians, skianists, and students of...
What is a skianist? Scientist.
Scientists and students of urban legend, does a head, can it see and stuff after it's been chopped off? The guillotine was invented as a humane and painless method of execution, one that is like automatic when the guy gets his head chopped off. Plenty of anecdotes have been used on all sides dating from the French Revolution through one of the guillotine's most prolific periods. Wait, hold on.
What are you doing?
I'm just changing the page. Scientists who asked their students to watch and record how many times they blinked, the scientists themselves being guillotined. Murders are tried to speak and rivals who bit each other while their heads was in a bag. Check it out. So two guys that didn't dig each other?
Yeah.
If both of their heads got tossed into the same sack, they'd be like in a bite fight.
Get out of here!
I swear to God, man, that's what it says. I swear to God!
Two guys that are in a bite fight. Hey, man.
What?
What are you doing?
Nothing, man. I just sparked it.
Two cats that got their heads chopped off, and the heads go into the same bag, they're in a bite fight.
I swear to God, that's what it says. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I've had to get a little knock, huh?
What?
Yeah.
All right, so, one famous tale concerns Charlotte Corday, the killer of Marat, whose cheek supposedly reddened after the executioner slapped it, even though at that point she was just a head that was just cut off laying there.
Wait a second. Her cheek reddened?
Yeah, she got pissed.
The head got pissed.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The current medical consensus is that life does survive for a period of roughly 13 seconds. Bitchin'. Think about it, man. See, first of all, you got to make sure that, you know, you hold on for a minute. Okay. First,
would you leave the pipe alone as long as you're on the air with me? Would you mind?
But think about it, man. 13 seconds, you're checking it out. Yeah, goodbye, cruel world. Adios. I'm a ghost.
That's what you do, huh?
Yeah, man. Okay, check it out. Okay, Jeff Dotter, you're all messed up. You murdered like 15 kids. Okay,
get your head guillotined.
Yeah, get your head guillotined. Okay, you're dead. Boom, down comes the blade, right?
Yeah.
Then my head goes rolling out onto the floor where I was supposed to be, and say it rolls upright, so my head's just sitting upright on the stage. I'm looking out at people going, later, and then I just die. You can look up at the dude and say, do you like that supersize, sir? That's going to be my final words. That's going to be my...
Yeah, okay, man. I can tell when that really, really bad green you grow in your backyard is kicking in. You're coming up with dopey sayings like that.
What?
So your head gets cut off and rolls out onto the stage. You go, would you like that supersized?
Yeah, man. That's going to be my last words. I bet if I was just a head, you put me on top of some shoes, I'd look like a midget. Remember that head detective dude from In Living Color? That was the bomb. Okay,
just read the rest of the asinine story.
Okay. The simple act of removing a head from a body is not what kills the brain. Rather, it is the lack of oxygen and other important chemicals provided in the bloodstream. To quote Dr. Ron Wright, he...
Who's he?
What?
Who's Dr. Ron Wright?
He's the guy that studied cut-off heads or something. I guess he's hung around when heads got cut off. He checked out the blink, you know, if it blinked at him or winked at him or whatever. You know, it's like one guy got his head cut off twice.
Why?
Okay, check this out, man. The dude got his head cut off for screwing around with another guy's wife, right?
Yeah.
But the guy's wife is there the day he got his head cut off. So when the head got cut off, the head rolled up and winked at the guy's wife. So the dude took the head, stuck it back on, cut it off again. Another story.
Would you put the pipe away?
The 13 seconds is the amount of high-energy phosphates that the cytochromes in the brain have to keep going without new oxygen and glucose. The precise post-execution lifespan will depend on how much oxygen and other chemicals were in the brain at the point of decapitation. However, eyes could certainly move and blink. The solely technical survival forms only part of the answer. The second question is, how long does the victim remain aware? See, that's a good question. Okay. Well, the brain...
What do you, man, do you...
What?
Do you need to take, like, an extra hit every time you have something to say to me? Like, oh, I better take another hit. I got more to read here.
You know, all you ever do, man, is harsh it up for me, you know? It's all you ever do is harsh every buzz what I ever not had. You harsh that, the buzz I had 3 weeks ago, man, I come off the strand. You know, I had a righteous day, epic day of surf, and you harsh me up that day. You know, I bet if I was just a head and you put a candle in my mouth, I look like a Halloween pumpkin.
Oh,
what?
What a freaking tard. Read the rest.
Hey. How long does the victim remain away? While the brain remains chemically alive, consciousness can cease immediately, especially if the victim's knocked unconscious by the force of the decapitating blow. Conversely, an individual could remain self-aware, able to see through their eyes and understand what has happened for much of the 13-second period. Wow. There's no consistency in this answer, as the precise length of both actual and practical survival will vary depending on a victim. Of course, this applies to many forms of swift decapitation and not just the victims of la guillotine, is the way they spell it. So
thanks a lot, man.
Don't you want to hear about, I've got another one here about how they attach electrodes to the genitals.
No, I don't need to know anymore, man. I just wanted to know about the guillotine thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, bye.
Bye. Hang it up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Puts his phone down. Yeah, bye, bye. So there you go. According to that, there's enough phosphates and oxygen and all kind of thing in the blood to keep you alive. Now, do you remain aware? Well, according to that, when the brain remains chemically alive, consciousness can cease immediately. Conversely, an individual could remain self-aware, able to see through their eyes and understand what's going on for much of the 13-second period. But they don't say why. So it all points to it not happening rather than happening. All it says is it could happen, but all the medical information they give points to the probability that it doesn't happen. Thank you. And I had to put up with that guy and his water pipe. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We went to Kmart the other day, my wife and I. My wife loves Kmart, and I came to love Kmart, too, when I found out that's the best place to go Christmas shopping. But guess what? They were in Chapter 11. Well, they were, and they just came out. But that one in Oxnard, no offense, guys, but what a toilet. That Kmart in Oxnard, clean it up. I'm a huge Kmart fan, and if I got to go in there, I want to go in there, and I want to find stuff, and I understand you got to reorganize the stores. Look, if you guys need a place to... See, here's the thing with all of those discount stores, Walmart, Target, and so on. You have to have a niche. You have to have... I think Kmart ought to go into discount gardening supplies or something. Get out of that. It's like, remember, anybody remember Woolworth? Woolworth. And there used to be a thing called a five and dime. All those stores went under, man, when they started having the supersize stores. Which, by the way, speaking of supersize, that's the one reason why we're the fattest pigs on earth, that supersize thing.
Would you like that supersized?
Yeah, sure. Do I look like I need it supersized? Of course. Everything's supersized now. Now, Kmart, they just got left in the breeze. They got left there in the dust. They're standing around with their thumb in their rear end while Target was selling all their, you know, clothes. You go to Target, you can buy a really good sweater. You can buy a really good all-wool, all-cotton sweater. Boom! Same thing at Walmart. The thing that we found out about Kmart... is, first of all, Kmart's got every toy. So you got to be like a dad to dig this. But someday, when you guys are fathers, Kmart won't be around, so you'll be screwed. You'll have to go into the mall again. But no, going to Kmart two nights before Christmas, there's nobody in there buying toys. Everybody goes in there to buy, I don't know, what do they buy in there? What do they used to buy in there? You know, toilet paper or... whatever you'd get, shaving stuff, whatever they couldn't get over, I don't know, whatever was like too expensive at Target, I guess. But we go in there every Christmas and buy Christmas presents when the kids were small and they had everything. And it would take an hour to do Christmas shopping for four kids. 1 hour, go to Kmart, boom. Love the joint. Love it, man. And I used to hate going in there because it was all, it had, there's a feel that only you guys who were, you know, were children in the 60s like I was would understand. It's sort of that plasterboard, you know, that fake board ceiling feeling, and the little horse out front that goes for 5 cents, and the and you bug your parents, bleen, mommy. Now I wouldn't want my kid to go on it because it stinks. You know, who knows? Some guy with SARS was sleeping on it the night before, and it's got bubble gum jammed underneath it. And you know, you're an adult. You can't go on that. I want to go on the horsey. The bum threw up on it. Don't. I don't want you on that. Got to take out some baby wipe, you know, spray it down with SARS bacteria killer, rub down everything, put the kid on it. And it costs like a nickel in those days. Now it's probably like a quarter or something. But then you get on it with the big grin on your face. Your mother put the, oh, here's your stinking nickel. The bubble gum machine, the jawbreaker machine. You had to go do all that stuff. You go in there, there's a guy with a vest, and it's red, and he's got a little name tag, and it says Skip. Yes, sir. Yeah, do you know where the fertilizer is? Like, we were looking the other day for this. My wife and I were looking for, oh, God, oh, a fireplace screen. Yeah, can you tell me where your fireplace screen is? Have you checked Homes and Gardens? No, I haven't. Yeah, it's there. Okay, go down there. No, it isn't there. He just was getting rid of us. Yeah, can you, where's your fireplace screen? Probably outside, somewhere near the fertilizer bags. Go out there. It ain't there. Where's your screens for fireplaces? Oh, we discontinued those, sirs. Thank you. That's a half-hour shot. And get a cat to try to help you. You know, excuse me. Oh, that's not my department. I work over here in, plumbing. Well, there's not plumbing. You got like one plunger left. It's the whole place is Chapter 11, but just don't bug me. So, you know, you go in, and the floor is that like kind of linoleum with the gum that's been there for 4 years. And there's a lady at the cash register, and you can't, is she happy? Is she sad? Just checking groceries for 50 years, as she's got that frozen with the face kind of puckered up.
Hi, hunch, find anything you want.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you happy in your job?
Oh, well, some days are better than others.
You know. Hey, nice gal. She, but the lips are puckered up in that permanent straight pall mall suck. You know, that...
Oh, I'm going to take my coffee break early. You don't mind, Charlie?
No, it's okay, Letta. Jesus. How long you been with this company, anyway? Guy comes over. Always the guy with the keys has got to come over and unlock the register. Because something happened. And she's got the shaved eyebrows that she penciled back in with the big arched eyebrow thing. Yeah, as if she's in a permanent state of shock and surprise. Hi! You know, she's saying to you, good evening, and it looks like, good evening! And the guy with the keys comes over, and because something's screwed up, you know.
Honey, I gotta get some change. Hold on.
And the guy comes over and unlocks the thing. Some young Hispanic dude with a bald head, and he's got just a faint outline of some gang tat on his arm. And, okay. He opens it up. Pulls out 20s. You go in there, you know, and find your stuff, and you get out. But it's really, it's an experience that I dug, because I could get stuff, get in there, and get out of there. There's something to be said for a company that's going Chapter 11. Nobody shops there anymore. Now they're out of it, and now they're back. Kmart. I will go to Kmart. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to give them their best commercial they've ever had. Go there for Christmas. I know it's like 85 months away, but go there for Christmas. You'll find all the crap you need. Every kid in your house. You won't have to stand around looking stupid at Toys R Us or wherever the hell else you go. And you'll be in and out of there in an hour. I swear to God, they had everything. Every day. Now, if your kids are under the age of 10, is what I'm saying, or under the age of 11. If they're older than that, then you got to go to the usual gun stores and liquor stores. But under the age of 11, you got to go to Kmart, man. There, I just saved these cats from another Chapter 11. You want to you ought to become a Christmas store, Kmart. Have that old lady get her into a Santa Claus outfit, you know, upgrade that little, that automatic horse. What the hell am I saying? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Hendry Show is back.
I've been to South Beach, Miami since 97. Marie and I went back down there because I worked in Miami for about 3 years. I love Miami. It's real different. I mean, you either like it or you don't like it at all. You either love it or you hate it. Same vibe as a lot of things that are, you know, a lot of things that are different. But South Beach, many of you have heard of South Beach. You got to go there because I come from Los Angeles, and I've been to Venice. I've been to the boardwalk in Venice, and it's a freak show, but it's a California freak show that I'm sort of familiar with. Like, whatever. Okay, so you're selling dues and you do rags, and you can roller skate really bitchin'. And there's a couple of cats banging big weights, you know, they're at Muscle Beach. And people are riding their bikes, and there's sort of that retro post-hippie look that everyone has. Kind of a, you know, white kid meets Rastafarian, but he's got to get home by 7 because, you know, his brother's being bar mitzvahed. Something. But South Beach, Miami, is a different world entirely. There's a lot of cultures meeting there. I won't even try to explain it, but I can tell you there's places, and we were just talking about it, places that are really just the best to sit and people watch. Because, you know, Venice Beach has good restaurants. You know, I mean, it's got restaurants you could sit and watch people, but nothing quite matches sitting in a cafe or in a bar on South Beach and watching people, because there's an extra added thing. Every now and again, you'll see like this unbelievably beautiful model walking down the street and some 5'3" dude with 600 cameras hanging around his neck. All right, baby, let's try it against the tree here, okay? And she just sort of leans against the tree. It's a whole model thing that's going on there, too. And they'll take pictures against the hotels, and the hotels charge big money for these models to just lean against the wall of the hotel. And then there's also a transvestite scene. There is a gay scene. There's the square Nebraska tourist goes to the Mango Cafe scene. By the way, the other night I'm watching something on TV. The Mango Cafe, I think is what it's called in South Beach. You can walk in there and get a drink and watch a pretty good marimba band or something and dance with your girlfriend and pretend like you're Brazilian for an hour. And it's a lot of fun. And you go upstairs. They got tables that sort of surround the dance floor. This cat on TV the other night, every time anybody does anything about South Beach, Miami, it has something along that this is the vibe. Very, very trendy place, man. You've got to be A-list to get inside the door of this place here. I'm Gay Johnson, and let's just see. What are you talking about, Charlie? I went in the other day with cut-off jeans on. A-list. The valets. The guys that valet your car in South Beach. I love them because they have the worst attitude, the most imperious nose-up-the-butt attitude you've ever seen. I actually had a guy, a valet in South Beach, say to me, something along the lines of, so, you know, are you going to be here long? Well, I may. You know, well, forget it. I ain't going to park your car. Yeah, what? And a waiter. Hey, man, could you tell me where Miami International Airport is? The waiter said this. Man, I never get off the beach. I don't know. I never get off the beach. It's moments like that, you know, that you really like. Anyway, you can sit at a bar and watch the freakiest people you've ever seen in your life. Now, we were at the Clevelander, which is a great bar on South Beach. There's a hotel there. There are hotels up and down the beach there, and I've never stayed in one of them. Some of them, like that Mango Cafe, I think that's a hotel too. So in other words, you go in your room, and when you walk outside your room, there's a band playing downstairs right there in the atrium. So what was the story I wanted to tell you guys? Oh, yeah, I'm sitting at the Clevelander, and there's this guy about 65 to 70 years of age wearing one of those rugs, one of those wigs that just, it's marvelous. It has the processed pompadour swoop, and it goes right down the back and kind of swoops up the back, so there's two colors of hair sticking out, the real hair and the wig hair. The guy's wearing Speedos. Now, keep in mind, this is a 68-year-old white man. Just want to give you the picture. 68-year-old white man, bad toupee, Speedos, a vinyl or leather vest of some kind, and some sort of sandals, right? Now, he's hanging on to a pole that is a support for the bar. That's an overhang of the bar. And he's, like, doing this jive pole dance. Just check it out. You know, he's doing this pole dance, and there's two chicks. There's two chicks that are, like, 22 years apiece, really good-looking women, standing there talking to this cat. And they're just, yeah, so anyway, well, you know, baby. You know, he's rapping to him, and then he'll just kind of go into some, he's just going into his, you know, Ephraim Zimbalist mode or something. Pole dancing up and down, hunching the pole. And these girls are standing talking. You ain't going to see that nowhere. You ain't going to see that nowhere but South Beach. Because here's a misnomer about Miami. Not a misnomer, misconception. People always say, oh, that's where the old people live. You know what? If you think that, you haven't been to that town in a long, long time, because it's a city of a lot of young people there. It's a pretty masculine town. A lot of men live there. It's a sports town. But there's that clash between these old cats in Speedos humping a pole and two really hot-looking women, 22, 23 years old, giving this guy not only the time of day, the whole hour. Then I turn around, and there's a guy behind me. The guy's about the size of Junior, what's his ass on Hee Haw? A big, fat dude. He's wearing shorts. On one of his calves is a big tattoo of Daffy Duck. Big, fat ass in these shorts. Big, blubber T-shirt. And he's doing the fat boy dance. Just blub, 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 blub. You can almost hear the blubber just sort of blubbering around in there. He's doing that. You know, this guy, you love fat. Look, I don't want to be unkind, but fat people that dance, I love them. Is there anything like a fat guy who's got no problem with just, yeah, letting it all hang out, you know? Then you go up the beach a ways, like Rerun. Yeah, that guy, that big fat tub. Then you go up the beach a ways, and there used to be a place called China Smith's. I don't know if it's still there. Probably isn't there anymore. You go into this place, and there's transvestites serve, they're the waitresses or waiters. They're serving you dinner. They're guys dressed as chicks, mini skirts, you know, tight pants, all of this, right? wigs, makeup. One thing about a transvestite is they make very ugly women, but nonetheless, they make a very good effort at it. And for some reason, this is a place, what I say for some reason, I went in there. So what am I mean? I went in out of curiosity with, you know, another guy and another woman. So there was two guys and one woman. We went in, sat down. Now, halfway through the night, they stop serving dinner and they go into a floor show. The guys start dancing and singing to the patrons. Then they brought up, and now, let's, and you know how they all sound, and now let's bring up Little Candy. And they're playing that song, I Love Rock and Roll. Well, up on the stage goes a little transvestite. So what that basically means is it's a guy about 5'1", in a long blonde wig, and a kind of a miniskirt with the big high go-go boots, doing this kind of bump and grind dance to I Love Rock and Roll, right? Then she comes swirling down off the stage to sort of dance into the crowd, and guess who the only single lone guy is in the audience? Me! So I'm sitting there across from my friend Steve and Brooke, and they're not even together, but she just happened to sit on his side of the table, and comes Little Candy, all 5'1" of him, dances down to our table, kneels in the chair next to mine, and starts singing to me! I love rock and roll. Put another diamond. And I look over, and it was one of those things where I'm looking straight ahead. Please don't. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to look at you. And she's like, I love rock and roll. So I turn to look. You know, there was a guy with all this chick makeup on. I mean, you remember Gene Hackman in The Birdcage? That's about how good she looked. He looked. Now, understand something. There's certain guys, straight guys, that dig this kind of scene. They dig this kind of entertainment. They will go in there. They will hoot and holler. They just dig it. They'll have these chicks, these transvestite dudes, sit in their lap, hold their hand. They're digging it, man. I mean, there's a homoerotic streak running through a lot of straight guys. I don't care what you say. I'm in there with a guy who I know likes women, and he and I have been double dating for a while. I work with a guy, and he thinks this is the greatest scene going, man. He's sitting in his chair. These transvestite chicks are sitting in his lap. He's, like, laughing, conga dancing with them, giving him a little spank on the rear end. Steve?
What?
You know, I really got to get going, man. Oh, come on, man. Sport is bitching. No, man. No, it's not bitching. No, it's not.
Come on. Let's have a drink or something, okay?
No, man. I want to leave. I'm scared. I'm scared real bad. You're scaring me, man. So then you leave there, and as you walk to your car, you pass another cafe. I don't know the name of the place, but there, as they enjoy the evening, you'll see couples of men making out. Nothing wrong with that. Add you to each his own. Go down to the news cafe, have yourself a little cappuccino, go up to the valet that gave you crap earlier, get your car, tip him about $100, and leave. It's a great, I'm telling you right now, I miss that more than anything about Miami. Going down there on a Friday, and I had nothing to do on a Friday night, and when I was first moving into Miami, and I didn't know a soul, I would go down there. They used to call it the Art Deco. They say,
have you been to the Art Deco district?
No. Where's that?
South Beach. It's purple and green, and you know, all the buildings are painted purple and red and blue and pink. And Gloria Estefan has a bar there, and
Mickey Rourke had a bar there over on Collins. Ocean is the street that borders the beach. If you go over to Collins, Mickey Rourke had a bar with two prize fight rings in it. So you could go in, get hammered, pick a fight with a guy, take him up into the ring, and have him beat the crap out of you. And I guess they had to shut that down for liability reasons. Why, Phil? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. You served him booze. You stuck him in a prize fight ring. He got beaten into a coma. Yeah, I think you're sued. What do you think? Good idea, Mickey.
You know, Mickey Rourke has all that. You know why Mickey Rourke isn't around anymore?
Not around. He's a very good actor, very good actor. But in his early days, he had a limited range.
Mickey, you know, he would talk like this. You know, I don't understand what you. What, you know, he was like Marlon Brando or, you know, James Dean. You know, it's just this range, right?
All right, Mr. Rourke. Tell you what, can you do it now?
You're a submarine captain, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm auditioning for.
All right, do Abraham Lincoln. I just want to see you broaden out.
The slaves. What are you doing? Go get and free the slaves. What
is that?
That's Abraham Lincoln.
All right, now do a Japanese general in World War II about to kill a guy.
You're stinking American. Here, I'm going to cut your head off with a knife.
Will you get out of here, your freaking range? All right, Mr. Rourke, you're now a woman about to have a baby, and you're very much in love with your husband. Go ahead.
His hearts, get this thing out of me. I really love you.
Yeah, that's dude. You really broadened it out there, man. All right. But he's terrific now. Ain't seen him in nothing, but I hear he is. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The stripper we ordered for Pelton's here, so I'll be right back. It's Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I think about Miami. I was living in an area town. How I find myself there, I don't know. They had apartments for rent, and I rented. I had no idea where I was. Hollywood Beach, Miami, South Florida, is probably the capital of when people think of Miami as old town. That's really where the old folks live. And I get off work. I go into the Winn-Dixie, which is the market there, right? There's something old people, you know, bless their hearts, I guess they're hard of hearing or something, but they talk louder than most other people, and so you can hear everything they say. Like, this is the conversation, something like this, you know, my nephew is coming for the weekend, should I get one banana or two? I don't know, two, yes, my nephew is coming down from Connecticut, I usually only get one banana, but I'm wondering if two would be sufficient.
I'd get two. Does he like bananas?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't be.
Well, you know they get brown.
Yes.
Just like Dennis Franz on that wireless commercial, he said they get brown.
Who?
The bananas.
Who?
You know, and so I'm in the market the other day. My wife, holy Jesus, I think I'm getting old because I'm like this. Should we get grapes? We ought to get grapes, huh, honey?
I don't know. Get some grapes.
Yeah, because the kids like green grapes, but I like the seedless red flame grape. And I'm thinking, oh, what are you doing, Hendry? You're stumbling around the produce section of freaking Vons going, yeah, is this, can you get the shucked corn, sir? Sir? You know, the guy who's peeling crappy, the dude with the green apron, he's putting stuff up there, you know. You go over to the guy, well, the peaches look good this year. Yes, they do, sir. The produce guys, I love to talk to those guys because they dig what they do. They really dig what they do. They love to put the one guy's, you know, Brussels sprouts, my favorite. We got great Brussels sprouts. I love to put pepper and salt on them. Have you tried them? Yeah, I dig Brussels sprouts. Yeah, look, little cabbage heads. But there I am, and I'm, you know, hi, the peaches look great. Like, I'm an old guy, I got nothing to do. You know, I'm wandering into Vaughn's. How do those pears look today, Fred? Well, the same way they looked yesterday. They're only older today. You might want to get a bag instead of just coming in here, wandering around and leaving. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm on a fixed income. So there we are in the market, and I... Marie says, go get some fruit. You like fruit. Everybody can hear this. Everybody can... Everyone hears, that's what happens. Suddenly, everybody knows your freaking business. Baby? Yeah, honey? Go get fruit. You know you like fruit. Get your fruit. Because the kids, you know, they don't eat it. Well, I love apples. Yes, get apples. All right, I'll go over here and get apples then. Yes. I should get some red grapes, too. What? It's going to get like that, you know? Excuse me, sir, could you keep it down? This is a grocery store. You're in a library. Do you have Marat Saad?
Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Let me see. What's a better book that people know? Do you have Lady Chatterley's Lover?
You know, but that was the thing, and I had to walk through, you know.
Where are your tangerines? Tangerines, not tangelos. The tangerines, because I find they're very bitter. Yes, sir. Well, we have a selection. The tangerines are over there with the limes. Why don't you put them in the place where people can God-G-G-D? You ever see people do that? You know?
Oh, they never put... Where are the limes? Where's the man? Here he is. Sir? Sir? Where are the limes?
They're over there next to the lemons.
Well, why are they there?
Because that, it's a, just two things are the same thing. What do you mean, why are they there?
They were always here next to the asparagus.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look, I just took over the store, lady. I don't know. I'm moving things around. I know they were next to the asparagus. Didn't make sense. I put them over there.
Well, I want them back to the asparagus. Now, I have a question.
What's that, ma'am?
Should I get one banana or two? My nephew is coming, and I mean coming this weekend, you understand. I get two. I don't know.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.